welcome to Just a Minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute here in Edinburgh. I'm Sue Perkins and we're broadcasting from the BBC Festivals at Dynamic Earth in the heart of this extraordinary city. Now time to introduce you to the four marvellous, talented people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Ian Smith, Uruj Ashfaq, Giles Brandreth and Janie Godley. Please whoop and cheer for them! I'm going to ask them all to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without repeating, deviating or hesitating. So we shall see how that goes. Janie, we're going to start with you. Hello, my friends.
Heya.
Now, the subject I'm giving you is how to make a good first impression. You know exactly how to roll with this one. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on how to make a good first impression starting now?
The best first impression I ever made was at Turnberry Beach when the president of the American state of America was arriving. Mr. Trump was there and I decided to get a piece of lino, reverse it and put a beautiful sign on it to make that special first impression. When he saw me from his helicopter, it was love at first sight. He sent down an FBI agent to say, can you please come up and kiss my master's feet? I said, no. Have you actually read the sign I am holding? This made me the best impression you could ever give on somebody for the very first impression meeting. I loved being in that special piece of grass near that beautiful hotel, and my goodness, did that Sharpie work well. I invented...
Do you know what? I got such a rush off that, I'm not ashamed to say. It's so joyful.
As it, Donald loves me, this is so beautiful.
I think really it played to so many of your strengths, Janie.
It did.
It was such an evocative moment, that.
It was, and that piece of lino and Sharpie, when I showed my husband it, he went, okay, have you got the lawyer on speed dial? And I did.
It's a very memorable and evocative message. I mean, you can look it up online if you like. Wonderful. Well, listen, you were speaking as the whistle went. You get a point. You spoke for an entire minute. You get an extra point. What a wonderful way to kickstart the show. Expect nothing less. Right, Giles, let's have a look which subject you're going to delight us with now. Now, your subject is, oh dear, local delicacies. Let's hear what Giles has to say about local delicacies. 60 seconds starting now.
Well, when I am here in Edinburgh, I always start with porridge as my favourite local delicacy. It's what a Scotsman calls haute cuisine. But that is... Neeps, deep-fried Mars bars, these are all, for me, local delicacies. I discovered something called Cullen Skink recently, which is a kind of fish soup, and cockaliki is another liquid that I adore as a local delicacy. I myself have not met many American presidents, but I was once recently, in fact,
Ian, you challenged.
Yes, I challenged the phrase, I felt like there were three hesitations put into one, which almost sounded like a word. It almost fooled me.
It was a cluster hesitation, yeah. I think, as he often does, from cockaliki to the American presidency. It was a correct challenge. I can say no more than that, other than you get the point and also you get the subject, which, to remind everybody, is local delicacy. So you've got that time and it starts now.
My favourite local delicacy from Scotland is a thing called the peppermint slice, which is very much like a millionaire shortbread, but the caramel has been replaced with a minty cream that stays solid to the mouth. Now, these are usually found in the Aberdeenshire area, which is where I get them from. You can't usually find them in Edinburgh, but one thing.
Giles has buzzed in. Your challenge, Charles.
Well, there was a moment of hesitation, but there was a repetition of usually.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, there was both. But it was an excellent inaugural punt at this topic.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Now, the rules of Just a Minute are very, very simple, and everybody knows them, and can, you know, you could go up to people in the street and they'd know them, but it's all in the nuance. Now, Giles buzzed with 1 second remaining. And bearing in mind that Giles has played the game a lot over...
42 years.
Yes. Yes.
They're applauding because I'm still alive.
It's yes. Still going.
It's marvellous. And several of my carers who have retired are here today.
Well, listen, you know, under the rules of Just a Minute, of course, it's a correct challenge. But then I look at the 42 years and I look at this majestic start made by this fine man. And I think, yep, it's all yours, Ian. You've got 1 second. It stays with you. Giles gets the point for the correct challenge, but you get to finish the subject. Your time starts now.
Well, another...
Well done, you get the point for speaking as the whistle went. Aruj, hello and welcome to the show.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
So you've got the cut of everyone's jib now. You get the way this is going to roll.
Yes, I understand it now.
Completely. Could you tell me what it's all about? Because I'm struggling. Have been for some time. All right, you can put us straight. What have we got in store for you? Ah, okay. So your subject is breaking the ice.
Okay.
Breaking the ice. What can you tell us about that subject in 60 seconds, starting now?
Breaking the ice is when you start to talk to strangers, and my favorite way of beginning a conversation is to ask people how they're doing, because everybody loves to talk about how they feel. If you really listen, people will tell you what they're going through, and they will keep talking until you ask them a follow-up question, which is to ask them how they're
a stonking debut. But the challenge was made by, I believe, Giles.
Oh, my challenge was hesitation.
Yes. But that was, you spoke beautifully for 26 seconds, which is no mean feat. Well done. Very, very strong. My first three words on my first ever subject in Just a Minute were why oh why. So congratulations to you. Well done. Well done indeed. Giles, correct challenge. You get the subject. Breaking the ice. 34 seconds remain. Starting now.
When I first encountered Uruj this evening, I broke the ice by saying I know exactly who you are because I have been to Mumbai, where you are one of the most popular comedians available now, performing on YouTube and on social media with many millions of followers. Uruj, I said, you are my kind of entertainer.
Ian.
Repetition of Uruj's name.
Yes, Uruj. Yes.
I broke the ice with Uruj by saying I'd repeat her name several times until she was well known enough in England to move here because she's so brilliant, we want her in this country rather than Mumbai. So I will be saying Uruj on quite a regular basis.
Correct challenge, Ian. You get the subject and you get the point for the challenge. You've got 15 seconds remaining. Ooh. And to remind you, the subject is breaking the ice and the time starts now.
Breaking the ice is an incredibly important thing to do if someone is trapped underneath it because they have tried to do some cold water swimming. And then once you have broken the ice, you can start a conversation with them, which is called double breaking the ice.
Ian playing a blinder on his first ever Just a Minute speaks as the whistle goes, which means he gets the point. End of the first round. Let's have a look at a few scores. And, oh, it's tight. There's nothing really between the bottom three. But out, but out in front on his first ever show, Ian! Right. Janie, back with you. You dazzled on your first round. Let's see what you can do with this one.
Oh, it's all going to go downhill in a big, giant, geggy handcart, but let's go.
Absolutely no way, Jose. It's heckling a walking tour.
Oh, yeah.
This is a fabulous subject. Heckling a walking tour. Can you speak, as we know you can, without hesitating, repeating, or deviating on heckling a walking tour? Your time starts now.
When I lived in fish markets close in Edinburgh, they used to have a walking tour come round every night at 8 o'clock, when the man would wear a cape and white makeup, and I would send my daughter Ashley down to shout woo right into his face, because that annoyed me absolutely no end. A good thing not to do is throw a bucket of water over the veranda. That can really upset the walking tour. Also, shouting loudly when people are talking about ghosts and things that don't really exist in Edinburgh. My
Giles.
On behalf of the Edinburgh Tourist Board, may I say that ghosts exist everywhere, at every corner. This is Ghost City.
True.
You're right. I mean, if people start to believe that ghosts don't exist, then an awful amount of the GDP of Edinburgh's sort of touring world does go down the pan.
Just a tip for everyone here. When Ashley was very young, when I used to do the festival, I would pay the man on the walking tour to take her round with him for like 3 hours. And it's a really cheap babysitting service. Possibly illegal, but she came back with a really good woo.
And a great knowledge of the fish markets.
True story.
I love it. Giles, you don't seem to have a challenge according to the rules of Just a Minute.
Oh, yes, a deviation from the truth. Ghosts are central.
Well, ghosts might be essential, but they are unproven, unless you're taking the word of Yvette Fielding at face value, and...
Unless you're talking about Jacob's Rees-Mogg, who is a haunted Victorian pencil.
So... Giles, you interrupted the flow there. I mean, I like the fact that you made a needed intervention in terms of the ghosts of this world. Who'd have thought you'd be their champion? But anyway, you've done the thing, you've socked it to the living, and you've really waved the flag for the undead. But Janie, there's no reason for you to stop talking. And so with 24 seconds left, please carry on telling us about heckling a walking tour. Your time starts now.
The best thing not to do when the Orange Walk goes through Glasgow, which is technically a walking tour, is to shout, "Are you really Captain Hook?" That upsets them no end. The other thing is, to run between the lines of said walking tour can result in you getting hit by a baton by a very small child who's really good at twirling it on the walking tour up into the air.
Well, it's joyful listening to you. Who knows what would have happened if the Pro-Ghost Alliance hadn't interrupted you. But well done. Speaking as the whistle went, you get that point. That was wonderful stuff indeed. Now, Aruj, we are with you now, my lovely. Your subject is the hottest ticket in town. The hottest ticket in town. You've got 60 seconds to dazzle us on that. Hottest ticket in town. And your time starts now.
The hottest tickets in town were to my favorite musician, singer, and composer A.R. Rahman's concert. I was extremely excited to be attending said concert.
Ah, Ian.
Well, as she said, said concert implies concert was said.
And it was...
This is repetition.
There was a repetition of concert. Yes, there was a repetition of concert. So it was a correct challenge.
The trick is to say... The concert, which I haven't mentioned before. To fool people.
I'm not sure how many people would be fooled.
But worth a try?
I mean, it's always worth a try, isn't it? It is. I think the only people you'll fool is the people who've just walked in to the living room where the radio is playing at that specific moment. But it was a correct challenge. I'm going to give you the point. But I'm going to let Aruj carry on because I want to hear all about the hottest ticket in town. And 40 seconds remain, so you have the subject back and your time starts now.
Oh, but I didn't have access to his tickets because as soon as they were uploaded on the website, they sold out. I had to ask my friends if they'd acquired any of those papers that led you into the said event because... I was desperate to listen to his tunes and sway and dance and...
Oh. Beautiful. Giles.
I fear there was a bit of hesitation.
It was a little bit of hesitation, but I think you were captured by the idea of swaying and dancing, and it was beautiful. It was poetic. But I can only give one benefit of the doubt in one subject. So, yep, correct challenge. Like Ian, you will also get the point, but this time you will get the subject. With 23 seconds remaining, hottest ticket in town. Your time starts now.
When Sheila Hancock and I were recently asked to audition for Celebrity Naked Attraction, they said it will be the hottest ticket in town, and we can take it on tour. Who needs Strictly Come Dancing, the live show, when we can have the hottest ticket in town from this great dame and you? Let's hope the weather isn't too chilly and you can give us everything you've got to offer.
Well done, Giles. Speaking as the whistle was blown, you get the point. Right, Ian, we're with you next, and the subject is how to tell lies.
Okay.
How to tell lies without hesitating, repeating, or deviating, please. 60 seconds starts now.
I was taught how to tell lies when I was serving in the Vietnam War. My commanding officer told me that you should maintain eye contact with anyone that you are telling a lie to, and you should always cross your fingers, as that is the law when telling a lie, but to hide them, perhaps behind your back. Maybe you could put your hands down your trousers, although that may lead to something else which you will then also have to lie about. I...
So, Jamie, you buzzed. What was your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, it was a very long I.
Oh, are you not allowed to sort of almost sing one word?
When you say almost sing...
Mm.
I mean, no, no. I mean, otherwise every single subject would just be, I didn't go on for 60 seconds. That'd be, well done, you were singing as the whistle went. But that I was captivated. We might hear more of your lies and your time. By the way, I thank you for your service. I think it's important that we acknowledge those who serve. It's incredibly important. Right, Janie, it was a correct challenge. There was a very elongated vowel, which meant that the brain was catching up. Therefore, I see that as hesitation. 30 seconds, please. How to tell lies, starting now.
The best way to tell lies is to keep your eyes shut and say anything you want to say by making sure you put your fingers round your own fingers. Oh!
Giles.
Repetition of fingers.
Yes.
Fingers was indeed a repetition. You get the subject with 18 seconds remaining, which is how to tell lies, and your time starts now.
As a sometime member of Parliament, I am professionally incapable of telling lies because we are all honourable members.
Ian buzzed.
Yeah. Well, when we said ghosts didn't exist, isn't that a deviation from the truth to say he's incapable of lying if you're in Parliament as a rule?
Well...
It seems to be a prerequisite.
I would...
Did you not say capable?
Yes. I was trying to explain that members of Parliament, professionally, apparently are not allowed to say lies. You're not allowed to accuse anyone of telling a lie in the House of Commons. That's one of the rules.
Mm.
Because they're all supposed to be honourable members. I was just setting out the historical context, but I understand the reservations that you might have.
We're getting into very deep water. I mean, I would say, Ian, your point does stand that currently it seems to be more the rule that people will tell lies in the mother of all parliaments. But we can't prove that. So I'm going to give you a point because I liked where you were going. But Giles, you keep the subject. 11 seconds. How to tell lies. Let's keep away from the thorny issue of politics, starting now.
They were called porky pies when I was a little boy, and I met that sweet girl, Susan, and shared my gobstopper with her. She wanted to give me an aniseed ball and told me I was telling lies.
Right, so... Oh, the scores are developing, as indeed they must, because we're at the end of round two. We have Uruj just slightly in fourth, just behind Janie, who's a little way behind Giles. But one point ahead of Giles, we have the current leader, Ian.
Yeah. Yay! Woo-hoo!
We move to round three. Ah, now Janie, back with you. Your subject is the Royal Mile. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating, or deviating? That marvellous stretch, the Royal Mile, starting now.
The Royal Mile isn't actually a mile. It's 223 feet, 476 inches. I'm lying about that just to annoy Giles because he's looked at me as though I've literally kicked his cat to death. The Royal Mile is a beautiful piece of architecture. You have bookshops, you have tram shops, you have beautiful...
Giles.
Only because Jenny is so experienced, I pick up on the triple repetition of you have.
Shops, yes.
And
it's
shops. A wonderful rhetorical flourish, but repetition.
Yes. You can't deny it. They came so close to one another that I must, of course, see that challenge through. Correct challenge, Giles, you get the point. 38 seconds remaining on the Royal Mile. Tell us something about that, please, if you care, starting now.
Some years ago, I was excited to be cast as Francis II of France when he married Mary, Queen of Scots, and on the Royal Mile, they celebrated this occasion in 1558 with an extraordinary pageant. People were there dressed in amusing costumes, and I myself attended in the role of this Frankish prince. And I looked very good, I must say, with an amusing moustache. And the Royal Mile had never smiled as much as it did that day when I came prancing down in my leotard, a quadruple shaped. And yes, they said, oh goodness, isn't he gorgeous, this wonderful creature? The Royal Mile is celebrating today this unique talent that has brought with it the history of...
Wonderfully done. And for those wanting to learn about the Royal Mile, Giles has exclusively squared it within his own experience of wearing a leotard. And prancing around like a Frankish prince. Delightful, speaking as the whistle went. Well done, Giles, beautiful evocation. You get the point. Right, you also get the next subject, by the way, which is watching paint dry. Can you speak about watching paint dry? Your time starts now.
I don't mind watching paint dry when I am in Mumbai, because there, my favourite country, I meet some of my favourite people. And Urooj and I...
Urooj, you challenge.
Repetition of favourite.
That's absolutely correct. Well done.
Everyone's really relieved I did something. Thank you.
I think we're just relieved that you could maybe... I don't want to see what Giles does to Mumbai after what he did to the Royal Mile. I think it's we're in safer hands. Right, so you get the point. It was a correct challenge. What can you tell us about watching paint dry, Urooj? Your time starts now.
Watching paint dry is not as boring as people think, because the paint dries in interesting ways in different patches. Some dry first and the others are less wet later. I am a huge fan of the color red. It is interesting to watch it fade away and become slime.
Wonderful stuff, but the challenge was made by Giles.
Yes, I'm afraid there was hesitation.
Yes. But I loved it, because actually your voice faded away with the word fade. It's really evocative. I want you to know that I just felt immersed in an incredibly sort of powerful radio drama then.
Thank
Captivated. Sadly, we're in just a minute, and I have to give the point to Giles. So... you get the subject 21 seconds on watching paint dry. It's back with you, Giles. Your time starts now.
Richard of York gave battle in vain is the acronym that I use to remember the colours of the rainbow. And watching paint dry with those wonderful patterners is what gives me a curious erotic charge. It's the sweep of the paint across the wall, particularly when it comes to indigo, one of my most gorgeous of all kinds of...
Well, we've learnt even more about Giles. really is that easy. Okay, you were speaking as the whistle went. You get the point. Well done, my friend. Now we move to our final round.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Well, we are with Ian for this one. And as an Edinburgh Fringe special event, we've taken a subject from our wonderful audience tonight. Oh. So, Ian, can you speak on swimming with dolphins? Oh, it's lovely, this one. Swimming with dolphins. Ian, your time starts now.
Swimming with dolphins is something I am no longer allowed to do due to an intervention from the RSPCA. This is something that I contest, and I think it is very fun to put Maltesers above the blowhole of a dolphin and see how high said sweet will travel in the air and then try and catch it in my own mouth to the onlooking tourists screaming with joy, "Do it again, Ian!" I can't, I would say, as this health and safety officer is having an absolute field day with this. He is telling me that I shouldn't be here because I didn't book for this event, and there are disappointed children nearby saying, "We wanted to swim with the dolphins," and I'm saying, "Stay back! I don't care how young you are. I've got a bag full of the chocolate sweet that I am using here, which is spherical. No, I won't tell you which sweet it is, but I am putting it in the circular hole of the dolphin, and I am having..."
Apologies for anyone who's ever loved one of those beautiful creatures. That was an extraordinary tour de force on your first ever Just a Minute. You also enter a very, very small and esteemed club. Well done, my friend. Right, scores. Well, just first and second place today. In second place, we have Janie and Arouge. And first place, joint first place, and today's winners, Giles and Ian! Yay. And there, my lovelies, we have to leave you. But first of all, thanks to all the players of tonight's game. Janie Godley, Giles Brandreth, Arouge Ashfaq, and Ian Smith. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this show. And of course, to our beloved Nicholas Parsons, who chaired this programme in such exemplary fashion for over 50 years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle so loudly, so precisely in my left lug hole. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and it was a BBC Studios production for BBC Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks so much for listening wherever you are, and do join us again when we next play Just a Minute. ¶¶